How far do we take the concept of Gilgul Shuah? Rabbi Yehuda Rav said, a person can even make another person swear that he's not a slave based on a Gilgul Shuah. Rabbi Rabbi says, if a person makes a baseless claim against another person saying that that second person is an Eved Kanani, we put the accuser into Chayim. Clearly, we would not allow someone to force another to swear that he's not an Eved. Rav said, Rabbi Yehuda meant that he can make a person swear that he was not sold to him as an Eved Ivri. By saying that he can even make him swear about this, it seems to say that it's an extreme case of requiring a Shuah. Why is that so? What's so extreme about this case? It's a regular case of it's a monetary claim. He should be able to require that shua to be made. What's the big deal? So Evan Amar Rava follows his view elsewhere that the body of an Eved Ivri is owned by the master, and as such, he's considered to be real property, not movable property. Therefore, it's a chiddush to say that a shua can be made, since one does not normally swear on matters involving real property. If so, this is the exact case of the Mishnah when it says that Gilgul Shua can make someone swear on land. Mar said we would think to say that sale of a land can be done without public knowledge, and therefore a shua can be appropriate to bring the true facts to light. However, regarding the sale of a person into slavery, that's something that's done with public knowledge, and therefore there's no reason to allow the shua for something that would be known to everybody if it's true. Maybe we don't make them swear. It's rather therefore teaches that Gilgul Shua may even be made to make someone swear in a situation like this. Zakta the Mishnah, with regard to anything used as payment for something else, as soon as the payment is given to the seller, the buyer becomes responsible for the item that was paid for. What does this mean? Ketzad? If someone exchanges an ox for a cow or a donkey for an ox, once one person has taken possession of one of the animals, the other person becomes responsible for the other animal. Presumably the Mishnah's opening clause is referring to when a coin is given in exchange for an item. This would mean that chalipin can be done with money, which is actually not the accepted view. So Rabbi Yehuda said, the Mishnah means to say that if anything other than money is used for an exchange, once the seller takes possession of it, the buyer becomes responsible for the other item. This must be the proper understanding because the example that the Mishnah gives is the exchange of animals. In fact, according to the presumed meaning that the Mishnah refers to a coin, what was the understanding of the Mishnah when it says ketzad? Furthermore, the Mishnah was thought to be saying that produce can also be used as chalipin. And the Mishnah then meant to give the example of where one exchanged the meat of an ox for a cow or the meat of a donkey for an ox. Furthermore, this makes sense according to Rav Sheshi, who says that produce can be used for chalipin. However, according to Rav Nachman, who says that it can't be, how will he explain the Mishnah? Mar said, we'll have to explain the Mishnah to mean that there are types of monetary payments that are like chalipin. The Mishnah then gives the example if one exchanges money that is owed to him for an ox, and he takes that, the money that's owed to him, he uses that for a cow, meaning he's owed money for an ox and instead takes a cow in the place of the money owed to him. As the one who is now giving the cow says, take the cow instead of the money, the kinyan is effective. The reason the kinyan is effective without Mashiach is that the Mishnah holds like Rabbi Yochanan, who holds that the raisa money can acquire movable property. The Rabbanan require Mashiach as a gzeira. However, in an unusual case like this one above, where they substituted the money for the item, and use that new item then for the exchange, the Rabbanan were not geyser in that case. In fact, how will the Shlokesh, who holds that even their rice only Mashiach can be used to acquire movable property, how will he explain the Mishnah? If he holds like Rav Sheshes, he can answer that the produce is being used, but if he holds like Rav Nachman, how will he explain the Kenyan? The Mara says, Echanami, he must hold like Rav Sheshes. Zok, the next Mishnah. Hegdish is kainu with money, whereas private people are kainu with chazaka, meaning Mashiach, as Rashi says. Mishnah's Vaita, a person saying that he will give something to Hegdish, just the saying so is as effective a transaction as one who is physically handing something over to a private person. Zakhmar Bryce says, how does Hegdish acquire with money? If the Gizber gives money for an animal, wherever in the world the animal is, it's acquired by Hegdish. A private person, on the other hand, would not be kind until he does Mashiach. How is it that merely saying to give something to Hegdish is as effective as something physically given to a private person? Bryce says, if a person says this ox should be an oila, or this house should become Hegdish, they become the property of Hegdish wherever in the world these items are actually located. A private person, on the other hand, would not be kind until he did Mashiach on the ox or chazaka on the house. Bryce continues, if a person made Mashiach on something from Hegdish when it was worth a mana, and before he could pay for it, value increase to 2 mana, he has to pay 2 mana. The Gemara explains this is based on the pasuk of Enosna Kesef Ekamloi. If he did the Mashiach when it was worth 2 mana, and before he could pay for it, the value decreased to 1 mana, he has to pay 2 mana. The Gemara explains this is because it's not right that a private person should be in a better position in a transaction than in Hegdish. Bryce continues, if a person pays 200 for an item of Hegdish, and before he could do Mashiach, the value decreased to 100, he has to pay 200. This also, Zakhmar, is based on the pasuk of Enosna Kesef Ekamloi. Finally, Zakhtar Bryce, if he paid 100 for the item, and before he could do Mashiach, the value increased to 200, what's done is done, and he only needs to pay the 100. In fact, in this last case, we should again say that it's not right for a private person to be in a stronger position than Hegdish, and therefore he should have to pay 200. And for the Gemara, a private person is not allowed to renege on a deal after payment was given as well. Therefore, Hegdish is treated the same way as the private individual, not in a worse position.